It's Thursday. It's 10 o'clock Mountain Time. That means it's time for the incredible Tom and Shane Business and Politics. So excited to be here with you today. It is Thursday. The sun's shining. The world hasn't gone to hell just yet, but we're waiting patiently for it to happen. But
yeah, they're searching for a handbasket. You know, as soon as they find a handbasket, they can...
We're going to hell, man.
Yeah, right. There you go.
As quick as we can. Well, while we're waiting for the apocalypse to happen, let's tell you, let's have you subscribe. Ring the notification bell, like us, leave a comment. Click on the subscribe button in the lower right-hand corner or under the... end of the video, because the one on the screen is just a graphic. I'm too stupid to make it work. So you know, you have to go elsewhere to subscribe, but we hope you will, because Facebook and YouTube like that kind of stuff. If you'd like to support us monetarily, there's a link in the description below. You can support us and we'll do great stuff for you. We'll come and wash your car. We'll mow your grass. You know, we'll do all kinds of cool stuff for you.
Yeah, we'll balance your checkbook, too.
That's it. Yeah, even if it's unbalanced, we'll balance it. Yeah. We'll even add money to it to make it come out right. So there you are. So Shane's loaded, so he'll do all the money for us. And we make these videos with StreamYard. If you'd like to make videos like this, there's a link in the description below to get you, your own StreamYard free version to try it out, see if you like it. And make your own podcast. And Shane and I both write amazing articles at medium.com. And there's links in the description below to all of our articles. So check those out and you'll be happy that you did. And our topic today, we are going to talk about the fourth, not the first, second, third, but the fourth amendment, Shane. And, This is the one that says, hey, your home is your castle, right? The Fourth Amendment says your home is your castle. Nobody can come in there and do mean things.
Well, that's right. We'll read it just because, you know, the three greatest documents written in the last 2,000 years are the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution of the United States, and, of course, the Bill of Rights. And so we want to go through it all and give you some information. Hopefully you'll enjoy and may not know. But let's start off by reading the Fourth Amendment, search and arrest warrants. The right of the people to be served in their persons. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause, important, supported by oath or affirmation, an affidavit, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the person or things to be seized. So they can't go looking for something.
Right. It's but not a fishing expedition.
And now it very well appears that this fishing expedition wasn't something... to find documents that Trump has that he shouldn't have, but Trump, the documents that Trump had on Democrats and corruption and their, you know, abuse of power, breaking the law, you know, their unholy alliance as a party to take down America if they can't run America. So, they were looking for documents that basically he was going to use to, help protect himself from, you know, what the Democrats have been doing to him for 6 years, 7 years, whatever.
Well, I still, there has to be a credible source for an affidavit, Shane. We haven't really seen that yet. We don't know who brought the information as to what Trump had or didn't have. And, you know, we haven't seen the affidavit. What was put out has been redacted or will be. So I'm not sure that we'll ever know what they were actually looking for, because as the Fourth Amendment you just read, there has to be probable cause.
Well, they'll find out when and if anyone, including Trump's lawyers, see the affidavit. But I want to go back directly to the Fourth Amendment itself, because there's two things that I think are really important that we need to talk about. The first thing is that the Fourth Amendment was adopted on July 9th, 1868. And it was what they called at the time one of the Reconstruction Amendments. So right off the bat, I mean, like, you know, immediately upon having the Constitution approved by the colonies, mm-hmm. they started to amend it. And they came up with this concept of Reconstruction Amendments, and they called it the Bill of Rights, because a lot of the colonists and members of the Congress at the time felt mm-hmm. that there were things that had been left out of the Constitution that needed to be added. So the great thing about the Bill of Rights, and everyone today should be aware of, is that from the very beginning, the founding fathers realized that it wasn't perfect. It wasn't a perfect document. And they came up with not only a way to improve it, but to amend it and to make that the two of them had a symbiotic relationship, one supporting the other. So Reconstruction Amendments originally, and then later called, you know, the Bill of Rights. So that's important. Mm-hmm. You also mentioned the House comment, and that's because the Fourth Amendment originally came from British common law, which most of your, both our countries' laws came from. Mm-hmm. And it actually, you know, this search and seizure issue already had been established by created a precedent by Sir Edward Coke in the Semeny case of 1604, when he famously said, "The house of every one is to him and his castle and fortress, as well for his defense against injury and violence as for his repose." And so this isn't new history in the, you know, the 1700s or 18th century. This is back from, you know, 1604. I mean, so this is something everyone was looking at. Now, further context is it was Charles Pratt, first Earl of Camden in England, who established the English common law precedent against general search and warrants. And even though the Crown at the time agreed to it, you know, they still took advantage of it and abused it, you know, because, you know, the Crown and mm-hmm. the House of Commons, you know, they fought for 400 years over really who was in charge. And you know, and it didn't come until after Elizabeth I that the royal was just the sovereign and the head of state. But in the United States, here's another piece of very important information. This became common law with precedent in the Katz versus United States case in 1967 by the U.S. Supreme Court. And it was a Justice John Marshall Harlan II who created the reasonable expectation of privacy standard. Now, I bring this up because this is, you know, this is one of these things, you know, when you dig about it, you go, wow, this is amazing. So John Marshall Harlan was on the Supreme Court from, 1899 till 1971.
Wow.
72 years, number one. But more importantly, he was an associate justice. And his grandfather, John Marshall Harlan, was also an associate director of the Supreme Court. Are you ready for this? From 1877 to 1911. Now, that means father and son were both on the Supreme Court at the same time.
Wow. That didn't happen very often.
Well, and how many? I didn't know it. What a wonderful piece of American history to learn about. Can you imagine? Yeah. Yeah. The Democrats today would go crazy, except for they were both liberal. So.
Yeah.
So anyway, bottom line is that it's great to learn about things like this and talk about it with our friends that take the time to listen to us and to add to our library, because you know, I studied and I've read American history better part of 50 years of my life. Never came across this one. And then I remember studying the Fourth Amendment in university, and the professor never brought it up. So, gee, I could I be better than a professor?
You could be. Yeah.
Could be.
Well, there's a famous case in the Supreme Court just dealt with concerning a couple. The husband dropped the gun on the table and told the wife to shoot him and get him out of his misery.
Unfortunately, yeah,
understandably, she spent the night in a motel room following this dispute. And when she came home, she brought the cops with her. And worried that he may have harmed himself, but when he answered the door and dealt with the police racially, they took him away for a psychiatric evaluation and searched his house and confiscated his guns. And under the Fourth Amendment, he argued that, no, you don't have probable cause, you don't have anything. The lower courts agreed that there was a emergency safety issue, and the Supreme Court disagreed. They still held the Fourth Amendment has to be, a rock solid protection of the home. So that case was thrown out, and I guess he got his guns back, and I'm sure they're living happily ever after. Right, Shane?
Yes, right.
But entering your home is a pretty big deal, and the police, they've got to have probable cause and a warrant issued by the court. Somebody has to come forward and say there's a legitimate, logical reason to enter this person's home and not only to enter the home, but the warrant has to spell out what specifically are you looking for? You know,
right.
if they go in a domestic abuse complaint and they find a gun that was used in a crime, that would be inadmissible because they don't have a warrant to seize that weapon.
That's right. That's why it's one of these situations that I love talking about because it's very clear. And, you know, the whole premise of law in both our countries and common law as a whole is precedent and procedure. Mm-hmm. You know, any lawyer wants to create a precedent or procedure, that's why he appeals. And any judge wants to create a legacy in creating new precedent and procedure. So it's a great aspect that you can compare the legal or judicial part of your system to your legislative and executive with the Constitution, Bill of Rights, and so forth, because the courts are always changing. And that's what happens with the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. It can change too. It can modify, it can adjust, it mm-hmm. can adapt. And
true.
Throughout history, all three branches have made mistakes and admitted it. I mean, mm-hmm. we've talked about Supreme Court changes that have been made. And
sure.
That's why this whole argument about the Fourth Amendment is so fascinating, because you know darn well with the precedent already set about guns and the right to bear them is set. I mean, it's not, it's like Biden and these debt, the student debt. You know, you can't come along with an executive order, and you can't come along with some law in Congress, and you can't come mm-hmm. along with some agreed law in the Senate that this president, you have to go through a specific process to amend, change either the Bill of Rights by removing one or adding one, and therefore changing the Constitution and its purpose to protect everyone, because it's all really there to protect your castle.
That's for sure.
You're a king. You're a king in your castle.
There you are.
And look how nice it is. It got bookshelves.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, it's a nice castle.
On the wall. Yeah, you're the guy that's loaded. Talking about me being loaded. I got my grandkids' pictures on my wall. Okay, I can't afford art. What are you talking about?
There you go. Well, we got a kind of a long comment here from Stephen. Fourth Amendment isn't merely about our homes or castles. It's about who owns the property. I own myself. I have the single highest claim over myself. No one, I don't care what claim is arbitrary authority someone claims to wield, has legitimate authority to search or seize anything unless I've committed a crime. violation against a person's life, limb, or property. So,
let us not forget, the most important aspect of this at the time when this was thought up and added to the Constitution after the Constitution was amended and created part of the Bill of Rights was because of the British military when they came to America to fight the Americans to keep, you know, their colonies. Mm-hmm. They just walked into homes with soldiers and said, oh, this is a nice house, you know, because at the time, you know, an average person in urban America had a 2 or 3 story building, you know, probably 7 to 1,000 square feet, and housed maybe a couple with or without children or two, and had 3 or 4 bedrooms, a big living room, a dining room, an attic. Well, you could put 6 soldiers in there, right?
And that's right,
so that's what they did. Mm-hmm. You know, they bivouacked their soldiers in homes in the cities instead of tents. Well, why wouldn't you? It's cold up north there at that time of the year.
That would be true. Yeah. So
that's, you know, the colonists really hated being, you know, ordered to have
bivouac soldiers. Yeah.
Well, and there's no toiletry or running water. You know, it's a pump out back and an outhouse out back, and you know, that outhouse fills up because it's only 20 feet deep. You got to dig another hole. I mean, come on, this is not fun.
I was going to say, anybody that doesn't want to bring kids into this world, imagine what it was like in 16 and 1700 bringing kids into
the world. Right, yeah. That's right.
Let's rethink that erroneous.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the FBI digs up bodies in people's backyards today, but, you know, 300 years ago, 200 years ago, you have to start a new hole. Well, like a shithole. A new shitter by filling in the old one. And it would take you 2 or 3 days for it to, you know, for the dirt to sink down into it. So, it was not an easy life, particularly.
No, it wasn't. Well, even when I was a kid, we used to go out and bury our garbage, you know. So
that's right. A lot of people burned it. They did, you know, they had an oil barrel in the backyard. They go out and burn their garbage.
Yeah. Well, we're really digressing here a lot. So
not from the Fourth Amendment, because if I want to, I should be able to burn my garbage in my backyard or anywhere else I like, you know.
Yeah.
I
mean. Yeah. Well, that's true. Well, also we mentioned earlier that the police can enter your home without a warrant if there's a legitimate emergency, like there might be the house might be on fire, for example, and there might be people inside, so they can.
That's right.
You know, there are extenuating circumstances for these various things.
When they come to the door and they ask if they can come in, and you invite them in. Now remember, once you invite them in, all bets are off, baby, because now they have access.
Yeah.
So you can't deny the. Mm-hmm. Police access once you've invited them in, and that's right.
Yeah, when I was dirt poor on the street living in my car, the cops.
Whine! God, I've listened to this for years. Come on, like you were alone being dirt poor. Everybody who's been successful has been dirt poor. Okay, that's how they know they don't want to go back there.
You want to let me finish my story?
No, not if the dirt poor thing's coming out. Come on.
Well, I'm going to finish it anyway.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I can take you off.
That's right. Yeah, you produce, direct, and create this whole thing. Yeah,
I can just get rid of you with a wave of my hand.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. I'm just a fly on the wall, you know, your muse, information, that's all.
Hush up.
Okay.
When I was dirt poor, living in my car, the cops would occasionally roust me. Want to know what the hell I'm doing, parked behind some gas station or in some supermarket parking lot, sleeping in my car without a state plate. So.
Yeah, well, if you're the size of a WWF wrestler, of course they're going to ask you what you're doing. You know.
Yeah, and it wasn't a Lamborghini I was sleeping in either. So,
no, that's
it was a beat up car.
No, yeah. no, you, you, you know, no, BMW black man's wagon is what you need. You need that big black vehicle.
I should have had a black SUV, but anyway, they would haul me out of the car and they would search me, of course, and run my license, and they always ask, can we search the vehicle? And I said, sure, go ahead. You know, so because I didn't have any weapons or drugs or anything, you know, I was a good, clean living, naive, innocent Midwestern farm boy.
You know, yeah, so. Until you know, they searched your vehicle and of course dropped the baggie and then Lip picked it up and came out and said, "Oh, look, we found here."
Yeah,
I mean that went on a lot. Okay,
well, that did happen from time to time. I will tell you that. So, well, Linda chimes in. The FBI found a judge that didn't like Trump, and the raid was done. And find something to stop Trump from running for president in 2024. Biden knew and endorsed this raid. And
apparently that's come to light now in the last hour. Of course, it's from the archives guy. You know, the Archives is an amazing building, like everything in Washington, D.C. It's all marble, incredible security. Mm-hmm. We've seen the movie about it, you know, stealing the Declaration. But I've spent hours in there two or three times visiting Washington and seeing all those documents. So the guy from the archives goes to the White House and talks to the lawyer representing the President of the United States and his chief of staff about these documents, and he wants them back. And that's apparently the story. Whether it'll get confirmed or not, we'll find out. In either way, of course, Biden, they all know. I mean, what's going on? They're Democrats, for Christ's sake. You know, they're thieves, they're crooks, they're scoundrels, they're murderers. You know, they're looters. Like, you burn it down. If we can't rule, we're going to destroy it. Okay, that's their modus operandi. That's it.
Okay. Breaking news. The DOJ submits a redacted Mar-a-Lago search affidavit to judge for possible release.
They were ordered.
That just came across my news feed just moments ago.
And this is going to be the great thing because they redacted names and stuff. So that's going to create another story for Trump as the victim, keeping him in the loop, you know, and having everyone, you know, it's so funny. They all hate him, but they want to talk about him.
Well, yeah, I know.
You know, didn't your grandparents teach you to throw enough shit against the wall, it sticks, okay? So, I mean, that's what Trump is getting on his knees every day and going, thank you, dear God.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for the Democrats and their stupidity. Thank you for this harassment.
I was going to say, if you want somebody gone, you know, don't mention them.
I mean, that's the whole thing. You know, that was the whole idea of the woke, you know, woking somebody or walking them, you know, get out that Chinese bowl and, you know, fill it with some grease and throw the guy in and bake him or cook him or fry him, you know.
There you
but, you know, they just don't get it right. I mean, it's anyway, the Fourth Amendment is so important because, again, one of the great things about this age of Trump, and it'll go down in history as that. You know that. I know that.
Oh, yeah.
And that is that, you know, he's an America first guy. He's a nationalist. And he's teaching America all this stuff. Like, people, we're talking about it. We're talking about the Fourth Amendment, so Americans are learning.
Yeah.
And it's like school. Mm-hmm. You know, didn't know before until I saw it. You know, now they're all talking about it. And Americans are going, wait a second.
Yeah.
This, based on what you're telling me, the Fourth Amendment, it says, this doesn't sound right. Really?
Yeah. Well, it doesn't, and that's the thing, because the people who issue these warrants and affidavits and all this other stuff are already inside the legal community, and there's a bunch of ways, as we all know, Shane, to manipulate the law. I mean, it's been done since the beginning of time. So, you know, the fathers, I think, had the right idea that they wanted to protect people in their home and in their personal property and papers and whatever. you know, there was the thing about the FBI wanting to get into the phone of the mass shooter, and they, you know, was that an invasion of the Fourth Amendment? The shooter, I think, at the Pulse Club in California or whatever, the husband and wife or whatever that got killed, they wanted to open their phone up and see if there were any other people they could go after.
Well, you and I, as kids in the early 60s, okay, the first 5 years of that decade, three things. The first was the Kennedy assassination. The second was the Cuban Missile Crisis. And then the third one was Justice Marshall of the Supreme Court resetting the precedent about this. Mm-hmm. And that was, is the police could not act in your car, yeah, or in any situation, in a bar, even outside your home, the Fourth mm-hmm. Amendment still applied. And right. So it, because it says person.
Yeah, you're safe in your person. Yeah.
You're safe in your person. So, you know, mm-hmm. he expanded the precedent, and that changed law enforcement in yours and my country overnight. I mean, thousands and thousands of cases had to be reconsidered, mm-hmm. not to mention every case since then has to be properly dealt with. So at the end of the day, everything they did, you know, it's going to come out that they did this to find what he had on them. That's what this was all about. Mm-hmm. I'm convinced of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, having it out of his possession, where does it go now?
Well, you know, he's got a copy. Like we talked about this, you know, 2 or 3 weeks ago.
I was going to say, when you got 1,000 different properties, you sure don't keep everything at home.
His lawyers have warehouses that he's paying them to pay and secure under the law anyway. Where every computer, there's a brand new computer that's already loaded. There's backup boxes to everything on computers, all the tech, paper copied everywhere, like 3, 4, 5 locations. So any hotel that's rated like this, you know, he can within 24 hours have new equipment back in and, you know, be open for business, you know.
Yeah. Yes. Well, we don't know what he had. You know, we're only guessing at what might have been in there that they wanted. But, you know, it's.
Let's not confuse some because it's important. So here's the deal. A president as president, when he's sitting as president, okay, mm-hmm. he's in the chair. He can declassify anything, you know, and then he has to mm-hmm. direct it to whatever department that he wants it declassified for them to clear it, you know, for them to go through their juggernaut of lawyers and all that.
Well, they've got to be aware that it's just declassified.
And they have to agree. And they have to agree because he went to court over that on a number of cases and won.
Yeah.
So all he's doing, all we're talking about is if he's taken documents that he declassified when he was president, because mm-hmm. they're trying to confuse the American people. He can't declassify anything as an ex-president. That's not what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we'll see what the redacted affidavit shows, if anything.
Do you think the insider was, staff or a Secret Service?
No, I think it was staff, probably.
I do too. Some disgruntled leaker.
Yeah. Who's that broad he fired? Maramosa? Yeah, it's her.
Well, she should have waited.
Maramosa, whatever the hell her name is.
Yeah, she should have waited to have that chapter in her book. It might have sold.
Yeah. Well, it might be.
Because it didn't sell.
It didn't sell. All right. All right. Well, I've got some important things to tell you right now because we are on radio Saturday, 8 to 11 Mountain Time. Listen live anywhere in the world, KMMSAM.com. All you got to do is click listen now. There's nothing to join, no signups, no emails, no personal information needed. And you can call us, you can text us. The list of things you can do is endless with us. So we hope that you'll join us on Saturday because we'll be talking more in depth about all of this, the Fourth Amendment and Trump. And we'll find out between now and then what this affidavit says, if anything. And we'll present that to you as we get the facts. And we need to remind you all our past shows. So if you missed any of our past shows, or you had to leave during one of our shows, or missed it somehow because, I don't know, life got in the way, all of our shows are recorded. So KMMSAM.com, just click on Tom and Shane's podcast. Video's there. The radio audio is there. Everything is there. And Shane will have his happy juice on file for you when we show up on Saturday. So, all right, that's going to wrap it up for us. Thanks, Shane, for being here with me as always. And
I thank you, my good friend. Yeah, my best friend. I love being the muse. I love to provide the content and also help with, a little humor along the way.
Yeah.
You've made a period of my life special, and I'm very grateful and will be forever grateful because 3 days a week, I get to talk with you. And the best thing is about anything.
That's for sure. Okay. All right. Linda says, thank you for the great information. Thank you, Linda, for being with us. We appreciate that very much. And we're going to wrap it up here as soon as I can find the ending tile put up. I'm doing 18 things here at once, but StreamYard is easy. Anybody can do it, as you can plainly see.
If you're a multitasker.
You got to be a multitasker to do it. So, all right.
Cognitive thinker. You're a cognitive thinker that you are, that Thomas Eagleman, Eaglehawk.
Yeah. We will talk with you on Saturday, and we will see you next Tuesday and next Thursday with more podcasts. So we hope you'll join us then. And for now, we are out of here. So thanks for watching.